Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. We don't know very much about Joseph the carpenter, other than the fact that he was descended from David, as Matthew points out in the genealogy of Jesus earlier in chapter 1. We also know from this scripture reading that he was a just man or a righteous man. He was also a quiet man. In fact, not a single word is recorded in scripture ever spoken by Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary says a lot of things in the New Testament. In fact, we just sang a hymn based on her famous prayer, her psalm of praise to God, the Magnificat, rejoicing in the wonderful gift of sending Jesus to be the Savior. But Joseph did not say a word in scripture. Now, I doubt that he was mute, although you never know, but I kind of think that maybe he was kind of the strong, silent type, you know? He was a man of action, a man of faith who exercised his faith in bold action. And yet Joseph shows us that a righteous man can also do the wrong thing for the right reason. He was about to do the wrong thing, divorcing Mary, for the right reason. He thought, but he was mistaken, that she had cheated on him. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in her womb. Remember what the angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke's gospel, that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and she would conceive, and that the child would be called holy, and the Son of God. And yet, if you were Joseph, how would you feel and what would you think if she told you that? As I've said before, we've never heard of a pregnant virgin. It only happened once in all of history with Jesus. And since he was the first and the only time, it was probably very strange and confusing. And by all appearances, Joseph must have thought that Mary had cheated on him. Now, Joseph was probably heartbroken, maybe angry, mad a little bit too, but you know what? He couldn't claim the child as his own because it wasn't his child, and that would be a lie. And Joseph was a righteous man. Yet neither did Joseph want to hurt Mary or harm her or her unborn child. We know from the law of Moses, the punishment for adultery was to be stoned to death, right? To be stoned to death. And Joseph loved Mary enough that he could not bear the thought or the idea of her being killed, being executed. He knew what the law of Moses demands, but he also knew that love covers a multitude of sins. His conscience was troubled. What was the right thing to do? He couldn't marry her but he also couldn't testify against her at a trial. What could he do? Well, ultimately, he decided that he would just divorce her quietly, kind of just let things fade away. He wouldn't bring a charge against her, but he would quietly dismiss her from his life. But God had other plans. And so even as Joseph was still debating in his heart what was the right thing to do, what should he do here, God sent him an angel to speak to him in a dream. In fact, this would be the first of four times in Joseph's life that God would speak to him by an angel in a dream. Quite extraordinary. And the angel said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This was an amazing word of God, a wonderful thing to hear. Little Mary was innocent after all, and everything that she had told Joseph was true. Her baby was a miracle, the Son of God, and his coming would mean salvation, the forgiveness of sins for his people. And that was the greatest wonder of all. For as a righteous man, Joseph knew that no one is completely perfect and blameless in the sight of God. We are all corrupted by the fall, by the sin of Adam and Eve. And as it says in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, which Joseph would have known, there is no one who is righteous. No, not one. Paul would take up that refrain later in Romans, but originally it was written in the Psalms. And so no matter how much good we try to do, we will always come up short. But salvation, forgiveness, it sounded too wonderful to be true, but it was true. And so when Joseph woke up, he did exactly what God told him to do. God, in the dream, in the very same verbs too, in the dream, the angel said, take Mary, call the child Jesus. And it says that's what he did. He took Mary as his wife, but did not have relations with her until after the child was born. He took Mary and he called the baby Jesus. He took and he called, exactly what God told him to do. And later, after Jesus was born, various dangers would arise that would threaten the life of Mary and of the child. We think of the time that Herod tried to murder all the baby boys in Bethlehem, remember? And later on, when they returned from Egypt, so the angel told them to flee, to go into Egypt. And he said, rise, take the wife and the child, and go. And again, the same exact verb. So he rose, and he took, and he went. Joseph was a man of action, and he did what God told him to do. He was quiet, but this quiet carpenter was a shield and a protector for his wife and for Jesus, the Savior of the world. He was a righteous man, and everything that he did was to protect this child who was not his own. And that very child would become the Savior of the world, including Joseph's Savior. We also live in a world that is unsafe for children. Hunger, child abuse, the lack of affordable vaccines, and lack of access to clean drinking water kill millions of children around the world in the undeveloped nations, especially. When you add to that war and genocide and abortion and gangland violence, it's really a miracle that any children survive in this world, particularly in a world that hates life. But we are righteous people, men and women who are called by God, who are justified by faith, who believe in the babe of Bethlehem who was born to die for our sins. Joseph protected Jesus not so that he would never die, but so that he would die on a different day, of a different appointing, of God's choice and God's timing. When Christ died on the cross and poured out his life for our forgiveness. And God also calls on us, the people of God, the people of faith, to love and protect the children of the world, and especially of our own community. But there are thousands of children, tens of thousands of children in Douglas County. So how can we help them all? We can't, but we can help the ones that God puts directly in our path. Our own children, our own grandchildren, the kids that are here at our church, your neighbor's kids, the ones that live on your block, on your street. We can learn their names and use their names and ask them how they're doing and actually care about them as people. And we can teach them the Word of God in Sunday school and at our dinner tables and our family devotions. We can be present in the lives of children, even ones that are not our own, and point them the way to Jesus Christ. Joseph was a righteous man, and he only protected one baby. And yet in so doing, he prevented the Savior of the world from coming to a premature death. And he paved the way for the salvation for every man, woman, and child who would believe in Jesus' name and receive his forgiveness by faith. If it wasn't for Joseph, Jesus could have ended up dead in Mary's womb, or slaughtered in Bethlehem, or forgotten as a refugee and an asylum seeker in Egypt. But Joseph did his part. He believed and obeyed the word of God. And in so doing, this quiet carpenter, who never uttered a word in Scripture, changed the world forever. What will God do through us if we simply love and protect a child? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.